Congratulations, you've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste by tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed and highly opinionated. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
My friend Pat just called, right?
Uh-huh.
And he said that his friend, this is kind of sketch, his friend's wife, one of her coworkers or something, tested positive for COVID, but he was going to go with his friend and his wife to a comedy show tonight, and they both are like bailing out because they feel uncomfortable going. Uh-huh. And it's Tom Papa at the Helium Comedy Club, which I didn't even know that the Helium was doing shows.
I didn't know either.
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, he was like, hey, do you and Jeremy want to go? And so yeah, I'm going to go see Tom Papa at 8:45
nice. Tonight. So have you been around those people?
No.
They've been tested positive?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. Okay. These are people I don't know, and that they're friends of Adrian's, Pat's wife.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've been around Pat, but I don't know that he's been around these people before this. And it's someone that they know.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just trying to do the math, yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, shit, what we were just talking about, it's like fucking...
Yeah, I wonder how they're doing shows at the Helium.
I don't know.
Everybody has to wear a mask, probably, I'm imagining, through the whole thing.
Yeah, but there's also, like, drink minimum still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I went and sat in a restaurant the other day, so they let you eat and stuff, but you have to mostly wear a mask? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're going to space you apart.
Sure.
Yeah, wow.
We're going to find out.
Huh. And the Helium doesn't fit like that many people. I mean, like, it's a couple hundred.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's not a huge... Yeah, you've seen shows there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's pretty packed on top of each other, sort of, little place, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I imagine in Portland they're going to be doing the distancing thing pretty hardcore, but...
Huh. Well, that'll be a great show. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just thought about something. I should have invited Summer instead of Jeremy.
Oh.
You know, it's her birthday tomorrow. I'm a fucking tard.
Why did you invite Jeremy? What?
Well, because Pat invited Jeremy. Pat was like, hey, I was going to see if you and Jeremy wanted to come. Because I told him, he was like, what are you up to tonight? I was like, I'm working on music with Jeremy around 6:30. Uh-huh. He's like, well, you and Jeremy want to come see Tom Papa.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, we'd love to.
Yeah.
And I just called Jeremy. Jeremy, want to go? And then it occurred to me just now.
Yeah, well, but I mean, like, and he's going with his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it would have been like a double date.
Yeah. Instead, I'm going with Jeremy.
Gay is the right word for that.
Fuck, man.
Call Jeremy up. Is he love Tom Papa?
No.
Call up Jeremy and say, dude, I don't know if it's all the same to you. I just remember that it's Summer's fucking birthday.
Yeah.
And, like, I should probably take her.
Man, this is turning into a whole thing now. Let's record this episode first, and then I'll do that. No. Okay, because I'm like, first, now I have to see if Summer even wants to go. I'm sure she will, but it's like, now I'm like, okay, now I got to go back to my house.
Call Jeremy right now and say, dude, I don't even know if she's going to want to go, but it's her birthday. I should really ask Summer if she wants to go with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's going to say yes or not, but like, I really should do this or I'm going to be in the doghouse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that and I'll let you know in just a minute what she says. I really would almost prefer going. I don't know really who I prefer going with, but I've got to ask her or my life's going to be fucking.
Right.
Fucking.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hold for 1 second, audience.
Hold on, everybody.
I'll be right back.
A little more.
Don't know what's going on. I called Jeremy. I told him I'm going to invite Summer. And then I call her and she didn't answer because I think she's FaceTiming her family. So I texted her being like, just telling her the situation. Call me back when you get a chance. So. Yeah.
Was Jeremy cool?
He was fine. Yeah. He was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he understands.
No, totally. It was fine. Thank you for your sage advice. And as you all probably hopefully know at this point, this is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
That social whirlwind of misadventure over there is Spencer. And
that's me.
This calm, glacial fortification of sage advice is
wisdom.
Craig.
That's Craig.
Wisdom. That's Craig.
Yeah. Yes, Craig is the...
comes from a lot of years, a lot of sorrow, that wisdom.
A lot of years. Just a lot of...
Oh, yeah. No.
You're the guy at the mountaintop. You're at the mountaintop. You got the clarity. You're just kind of like...
Grandpa Millennial, I think, is how Aaron Stern describes it.
You know what's funny? Summer and I were having this discussion the other day because... I was like, she was like shitting on millennials, you know, as people like love to do these days. Yeah. And I was like, you know, you're a millennial, right? And she was like, no, I'm not. Don't even say that. Almost like I said, like, you know, you're a racist or something like that. Like, she started defending it like it was an accusation and not just like a statement of fact. I was like, yeah, you are. Pretty sure. I originally thought that it was like 85 to 95, but we looked it up. It's like 81 to like 96, 97.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and it's funny because my sister has also had that same reaction, but she wants to be part of Gen Z. She's like, no, I'm Gen Z, and she's 2 years younger than me.
No. She's a millennial.
You're a millennial.
She's totally like millennial.
But people are trying to jump ship from the millennials on both sides. They're like, no, I'm Gen X. I'm Gen Z. And it's all because...
It's all because the country's falling to shit as you people come into your prominent period of your lifetime.
Right.
That's why.
And I get it. And there's a lot of stupid, shitty things about millennials. But at the same time, I'm like, every generation has had it. Has been stupid and shitty in their own special way, and they all kind of get shit on when they're like coming up. Like, I'm sure the lost generation, are they the ones who are one above the baby boomers? Like our grandparents, I think.
Oh, sure, right, yeah.
Is that what they're called?
They're the ones right before the baby boomers.
They're like the children of immigrants and whatnot. Yeah. A lot of times, at least my grandparents were like born in the early 30s.
Right. Well, they're the ones, the lost generation, I think, are the kids that were children during World War II. You know, like, no one's paying attention to fucking kids because there's World War II going on. You know, like, and then the baby boomers were everything that was after that. Like, my... dad was part of the lost generation, really, and then my mom was part of the baby boomers.
Right.
Just barely.
Oh, okay. No. We're off on this one.
Or lost generation is the 20s.
Lost generation is they came of age during World War One.
Okay.
Then it was the greatest generation, and they are the people who went
who fought in World War One.
So greatest
fought in World War Two.
World War Two. Yeah. So greatest generation is 1901 to 1927. So the lost generation is like late 1800s.
Okay.
And the silent generation
is the other one. Is
my grandparents, and that's from 28 to 45.
Yeah, so that's my dad too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's like if you were born when any of those.
And then my grandparents were all the great generation.
Okay.
They're all, most of them, my grandma, well my grandpa's second wife, who's considerably younger than he is probably borderline the end of that. But yeah, all of my grandparents were born in like 19 teens, some those sort of things. Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that right? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. That would make sense. But anyway, it's funny. There's this a lot of shitting.
1920s, I guess some of them. Like, they'd all be late, greatest generation. But they all, like, my grandparents, my grandpa's fought in World War II. Like, one of my grandpa's fought in World War II. The other one, I don't know why he didn't fight in World War II, but he was around during that time. And then my other grandpa was escaping Europe during World War II.
Mm. Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa, I think, was too young. He was born in like 39 or something, 38.
Okay.
So I think he was too young to fight in World War II.
So he's part of the silent generation.
Yeah, my grandparents are silent generation.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Like
my dad. My dad was a little bit too old to fight in Vietnam, too young to fight in Korea. I mean, he could have fought in Vietnam if he would have wanted, but he was not like one of like in prime draft
age.
And
he probably had like a job in some sort of situation where he's contributing to the American economy or something. They're like, all right, you're...
Well, I mean, at that time I was being born. He was like he was your age and he was married and yeah, he did had a job for sure and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, like that, they don't really
They don't
draft
care,
late 20s until like, you know, until the Soviets are at the door and then they're like, oh yeah, anybody under 40 is going to get a rifle. But they try to keep it pretty young and dumb, full of cum
of course,
the beginning of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Understandable, I guess. But it's just funny, the I think every generation goes through the period of where it just gets shat on, you know. It's funny how it happens, though, because I think in the past couple of years with everything happening, it's been the boomers and the millennials. So it's like the boomers and their kids. Everyone is just like, fuck you guys. You know what I mean?
Sure.
No one's really pissed at Gen X.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, yeah, you guys are around, but you're not, like, you know, responsible for the world's problems in the way that the boomers seem to have had laid that at their feet. And I think about my parents, and I'm like, dude, they just kind of, like, did what they were told would be, like, a successful, happy life. You know what I mean? They weren't like, I'm going to uphold the systemic patriarchy of white supremacy. I'm going to dedicate my life to that. You know, like, you can't lay that at the feet of boomers. They were just
you
like...
You kind of can.
Why?
And here's why. Because... The 60s came through with like this new attitude of, okay, we're not going to do things the way that we've done them before. And anti-materialism, a lot of these other things that were good in the 60s and the baby boomers, maybe not your parents in particular, but that was a huge societal shift from like 1975 to 1985, where the world went totally like, super capitalist consumer trash throwaway culture in that 10 years in a way that like is reprehensible.
Yeah, but
and that is directly the boomers making a bunch of fucking money because they're like there's a lot of us and we need to come up with new ways to make lots of money.
Sure. And they just focused on that. But I don't know, like the 60s, while I think there were a lot of really good ideas, important things happening, like, I think anyone really living through that and experiencing it probably saw, like, what we're seeing right now with the, you know, a lot of different movements, like, how they're actually not this, like, perfect ideal thing. They might be manipulated in certain ways. We all know, like, the CIA had some kind of involvement with hippie culture and acid and, you know, there was some weird shit happening there. And I think that's what turned it into, like, you know, maybe the movement got diluted and dispersed because it would have been, like, a world-changing thing. But they're like, all right, we need to put enough drugs into these people so that no one takes them seriously.
But just because the villain is able – if the villain's able to trick you, does it make you a good hero still? That's what I say to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe the CIA is manipulating shit and all this stuff, but if, like, you hear, like, the good moral message, and then someone's able to trick you into fucking dancing disco and doing cocaine for 10 years, like, you're at fault. You know, it's not the siren's problem. It's Odysseus's problem.
Yeah, but the sirens, you know, they crash land him on, like, the island, right? Isn't that what happens? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get my metaphor right.
Well, actually, that's a poor metaphor, because Odysseus is able to
he avoids that.
Yeah, he fills his sailor's ears with wax, and he ties himself to the mast so he can listen to the siren song, but he's not able to go crash the.
He can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's badass. But the boomers, at least my parents, they were born. My mom was born in like 58, and my dad was born in like 64.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the young boomers. My mom's more of a mid boomer, but you know, the older boomers, the ones born right after at the end of World War II, they were the ones like really driving the hippie movement in the 60s, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then so you have this younger generation that's just kind of like watching it happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's their older siblings or cousins or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they are really coming into their own in the 70s, where things and as cool as the 70s seem, from what I understand, it was also just a trash fire of a decade as far as, like, you know.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways
it was a trash fire, and the 80s were a trash fire in a lot of ways too.
Right, but it was almost like a reactive, different trash fire because of the 70s, because I think a lot of people blamed the 70s on, like, the weird hippie movement shit and it clashing with the, you know, Nixon era, like, fucking
I don't know.
Politics.
I think that the 70s were the outcome of, like, the birth of, like, super liberal policies of the 60s. I mean, that's where, like, the cities of America became unsafe, is like during the 60s and the early 80s. And then the 80s were like this rejection of that movement with Ronald Reagan and everything,
right?
To this other end of I mean, really, it all kind of, like, the big downtrend started in, like, I don't know, it's hard to say, but, like, 80 is a big one. Like, when Ronald Reagan was elected, like, he changed a bunch of shit that is not necessarily positive by any stretch of the imagination, you know? And it was the baby boomers that voted that guy in for eight years, and they loved him. You know, they loved Ronald Reagan. The same fucking guys that were marching in the streets in the 60s loved Ronald Reagan, and there's a lot of overlap there, you know, scary overlap.
Yeah, but they're going to say the same thing about Obama and Trump, you know.
Yeah.
When it would be true.
It would be true.
And, yeah, I don't know. I just think, like, I guess it's not that there's people are blameless necessarily, but I just think every generation has its, like, moral failings. And
I just think that those are the generations that are there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, and the world is taking a major shit when they're at the prime of their life.
Right. Well, millennials, yeah.
Well, baby boomers, too. I mean, the baby boomers, like, it was like a major shit from, like, 68 to, like, 84.
Yeah.
I mean, just fucking, like.
But my parents were in the prime during the 80s. You know, like, the younger boomers, I feel like they got to fucking live the prime when shit was, economically speaking, going good. It was like housing, jobs, like, all, you know, the boom.
Man,
of the 80s.
I don't remember the 80s like that at all, dude.
I mean, that's just...
I mean, I don't remember that. It was not a boom. I mean, it wasn't a boom area like the 90s. The 90s were the boom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the recession, like, the 80s were recession for more than half of it.
Huh.
It was not like, no.
It's just the way that the culture seems, just from, like, viewing the art and whatnot,
it
just seems
decadent. It was tough fucking times when I was in high school and shit, at least where I grew up. And I know around that, I mean, it was, No, it was not like a super, I mean, Reagan kind of turned it around to some degree, you know, but it was like the huge switch off of like privatization. And like, that's where the corporate tax fucking shit fell down to nothing. You know, he deregulated and broke the unions and like did all of this shit that set this massive stock market thing going crazy, like, you know, and all that sort of growth. But as far as like the destruction of the middle class, like that shit started in the fucking 80s. And so like,
yeah, like Wall Street type shit.
It was recession. It was a recession, and Wall Street started to grow like crazy. But like, we're making the transition into like the society that we're in right now, which is like this luxurious poverty for the majority of the country, and then like extreme luxury rich for like a very small percentage.
Right. I don't know. I like I said, I don't think any generation is blameless, but just that, like, if we're going to talk about like general moral failings, and if to go and live your life and pursue the simple things as just like finding a stable job, securing income to get a house so you can make a family so that you can die and have kids looking like, or whatever, wiping your ass when you're older. You know what I mean? Like, if that's just, you're like, that's just what I want. I don't consider that. Well, I guess it would be a moral failing in a way, but I think that we're all kind of guilty or whatever, because to an extent, everyone is still just trying to live their lives right now. Even the more like militant people, they're still just trying to like have some semblance of a normal life. And if you live in a sick culture that's like obsessed with the wrong thing, then, you know, just going about living your life is going to be some kind of like moral failing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just hard to, it's hard for me to like place blame at the feet of the baby boomers specifically over anyone else. You know?
Well, no, I agree. No, I agree. I mean, this generational naming of shit is just an arbitrary like fool's errand, really, if you get right down to it at the end of it, because like, people are always going to be people.
Right.
But yes, there are certain generations that have to deal with worldwide things, and then how they deal with those things is the judgment of that entire generation. And that is a very much armchair historian, like looking at it from like 60,000 feet.
Right.
That's why, like, whenever I'm making like these generalizations about like baby boomers, and you're like, well, my mom and dad didn't, you know, like, but that's not, this is like from the 60,000. So that's the generation that we learned a couple things in. We learned like endless war. We learned like that, this new stock market, like crazy fiscal crap. We've learned like this super debt society that we've lived in. Like, it was the birth of credit cards. It was the birth of a mass media. It was the birth of cable television. It was the birth of internet. And like, if you think all of those things have moved society in like this super positive way, then the baby boomers are great, because the baby boomers brought a bunch of great stuff too. With all of that stuff that I list, there's great, great fucking shit in all of it.
Right.
But I would say that all of it is like end of empire stuff. It feels like that now. You know, I feel like all of, we got all of this stuff, and it all happened during the fucking baby boomers.
Yeah.
So whether they're responsible or not, those were the people that made the decisions on whether those things were important to us in our day or not. And whether they're good or bad decisions, it's on that big group of folks that made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the millennials, they have decided that, like, social media is the way that they're going to totally communicate with each other.
Right.
It's more real to be popular on Instagram than it is to be nice to the people that you go to high school with.
Right.
You know, they're making a bunch of these decisions that are affecting, that are going to affect the world and the way people think about the world for a long time.
Yeah.
And some of it's kind of good and some of it's kind of bad, but it is irrevocably changing the social fabric of the country and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get judged for that as the people that are alive and like the movers and the shakers and the trendsetters of that time. Your generation will be held accountable for social media, good and bad. But you, it's yours.
That sucks.
You know, just like goth music and hip hop is mine. That's Gen X.
Okay.
You know, but there's all other bad things.
Hold on there. Hold the phone. Because, okay, yes, no, you're right. But you threw us social media. And
it's not,
like,
it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just that nothing happened during Gen X. That's why nobody's mad at us, is because
nothing
really
like,
fucking
what did you
happened.
Guys do?
We had Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, and a lot of fucking great concerts. And
Lollapalooza.
And weed got really strong. Over my lifetime, it went from being crap to being really good.
Okay.
We had like endless war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like low burn war. We're the generation that like, oh, well, you're going to try to throw Vietnam at us. But like, we're kind of like too busy listening to Tool to
fucking
care.
I know what you guys did. Illegal downloading.
Yeah, that was kind of the end of it. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
You guys,
for sure.
If we want to talk about shitty things to lay at generations' feet, you guys got behind the Napster LimeWire thing pretty quick.
Well, or you could look at it as though we killed the record company's stranglehold on the music industry.
Oh, yeah, that's also.
As soon as we saw a vein, we went for it, baby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, but again, like, it's very little happened.
Yeah,
you know, we were kind of like placeholders.
I'm gonna click on this real quick. I'm gonna click on this Generation X. I'm just curious. Following the baby boomers, 65 to 1980, 65.2 million Gen Xers. Let's see if there's any sort of demographic. Oh, you guys like abortion. let's see. Characteristics. Rising divorce rates and women workforce participation. I'm just kidding. Conservative and neoliberal turn. Crack epidemic and AIDS. These are just the categories.
Yeah.
Crack epidemic. Okay, you guys
AIDS was a huge
crack
thing.
And AIDS.
Yeah, crack and AIDS.
Home computing. So it's like.
Yeah, video games.
Video games and like early renditions of the internet and word processing.
And just
processing.
Like word processing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-civil rights generation. Growth in college enrollments as young adults. Adjusting to the new social environment. Birth of the slacker. Birth of the slacker. Yes, dude, mall rats.
Yeah.
Gen X, Mallrats, yeah. Fucking Stacey
Slacker. The movie Slacker.
The movie Slacker. Yeah. Stacey Peralta.
Yeah.
Dogtown.
Skateboarding.
Yeah, skateboarding. Like, so the skate punk for all of his,
oh,
and
dude,
all his
yeah,
glory.
I remember the first skateboards that showed up and,
yeah.
Like, buying them and skateboarding every time. We only had, like, 3 months a year in Wyoming that there wasn't snow. But, like, yeah, we tried to skate the fucking shit out of those three months that we had.
So, like, X Games, all those, like, extreme
sports. Oh, that was
stuff.
Was a little late. That was towards the end of it, the X Games and stuff.
But I feel like that's still you
but
guys.
But Dogtown and Z-Boys and, like, Thrasher Magazine and, like,
and,
yeah.
Like, Hustler. Kinda.
Hustler, Playboy. I don't know.
Well,
that
those are earlier. Those are 60s and 70s, maybe. 70s.
Porn is real 70s, I feel like.
Yeah.
That was like where porn became like kind of okay.
Right, and it didn't make the next step until like the 90s, maybe, with more like video porn.
Once it hit the internet, it started to become more.
Well,
like,
and they still made movies, though, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it lost its like. Taboo in the sense that everybody is just assumed that everybody watches porn now because it's so. But before, like, oh, you actually have dirty magazines? Like,
right.
Freak,
whoa.
What a weirdo. Yeah. You know, like, you had to go to the store. Because you had to go to the store and buy a dirty magazine.
Right.
Have you ever went to the store and bought a dirty magazine before? Do they even sell dirty magazines at the store anymore?
At certain places, I'll see the blacked out section in the magazines. But no, I've never bought one.
You've never asked for one and just like, hey, what does that Peepers look like? I want to check that one out.
No. Never have. Because it's like, why? Because, I mean, there's like the weird shame involved in doing that. And then also, I've had access to online porn my entire life.
Right. No, it's for the weird shame.
Oh,
it's kind of like, it's kind of like
shame.
To go buy like kind of foreboding things at a normal place and ask for that stuff that's behind the counter that is totally adult and off limits is interesting.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it's strange that you've never done it, you know, because like, you know, I bought some like,
but I would get that like
girly magazines in my day.
Sure. Interesting. So let's see. Okay. Man, because this is, I'm just reading down like the table of contents on this Wikipedia article.
Sure. Okay.
And then it says, so in midlife, there's achieving a work-life balance, entrepreneurship as an individual trait, benefits of a college education, parenting and volunteering. And
man,
income,
I haven't experienced really any of that. A little volunteering, I guess.
Income differential with previous generations. Let's
see. There you go. We made a lot less money than our parents.
Yeah. Made less by 12%. Which is
considerable,
especially when considering inflation. But yeah, you guys, MTV, like music videos, they're talking about punk rock, grunge, and hip hop. That's fucking dank, dude. Mm-hmm. Also, you guys have a shit ton of really good authors. David Foster Wallace, Bret Easton Ellis, like millennials, we don't have anything like that yet, as far as I know.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, but
that's the books that you guys loved with Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, but that's like David Foster Wallace and Bret Easton Ellis were Gen Xers.
Yeah, and so is J.K. Rowling.
Right, she's a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really, her writing is more your guys'
generation. But it's totally. She resonated with us, but she's a product of Gen X. You know, you could, like, she is
sure.
a Gen X.
Sure, sure. No, I really don't think that you have, like, great authors because, like, your means of... you may have some, but no one will know because no one's reading any fucking books anymore.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yep. Have you heard of Generation Alpha? Mm-hmm. This is the generation that will come after Gen Z. It's like a fledgling one where they still have yet to define the actual cutoff points, but they're saying early 2010s to the mid 2020s is going to be Generation Alpha. So,
and they're just going to be full retard. Just,
I mean, it's, let's see what they're saying. Health and welfare, allergies, autism, asthma, autoimmune disorders. Fuck, dude. Obesity and malnutrition, problems arising from screen time such as nearsightedness. Damn.
Yeah, no, they're just going to be seriously just like clinically insane. Marshmallows.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're called Generation Alpha.
Yeah.
That's funny. Someone's got a sense of humor with that shit.
I'm sure they'll change it up to like Generation Nitwit or something by the time it gets up there. But
I feel bad for whoever gets Generation Beta.
Beta cuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird deal. It's a weird deal.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know like when this whole like generational shit started being paid attention to. You know, like, but I guess it's been going on for probably a long time. You know, in various countries. Do other countries have... I mean, other countries do that same thing. They have the different generations that they talk about, too.
Well, I think it's a pretty common human thing because, you know, we love putting things in categories and, like, taxonomy. And and it's like we look around and we notice these different categories based on age, where it's like, there's people like my parents, there's people like my grandparents, people like me, people younger than me. So it's usually, like, these four general categories... You know what I mean? I'm talking about super general.
Yeah. It's it's weird.
And it's always like cycling through that. Like now you're becoming the parent. Now you're becoming the grandparent. Now you're looking four generations younger than you. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think almost inevitably between the youngest and the oldest generation, there's just going to be like next to zero connection. Or, I mean, that's an overgeneralization, but like there's going to be, it's going to be very difficult for them to see eye to eye because of the differences.
I don't know though. I mean, like, I do think that like grandparents and grandchildren get along better than parents and grandchildren.
Yeah, that is true.
Just because there is like a generational rebellion thing that goes on there, where like kids rebel against their parents who rebel against their parents, and sometimes the rebellion against, that's why things kind of change, but they stay the same. You know, it's like America started out as being a bunch of nasty old racists, and it still is, because like no matter how much they rebel against every generation, they're always kind of going back to that thing, that awful thing that they were, you know, whatever. I'm just joking, but you know what I mean?
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, like grandpa smokes, so mom won't smoke, you know, because Jesus Christ. And then you grow up and you're like, oh, I'm going to smoke because it's
cool.
Mom
was really against it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, well, yeah,
smoke just like your grandpa.
Exactly.
And you find out your great grandma hated it too.
Right.
And just like
just
going again
and
again.
Back and forth.
Right. Right. So, I mean, I think that there's some of that. And it's just also like, I don't know. It's the thing about the cutoffs and all of that. Like, there's a part of like trying to see history from like that super high altitude, your current events and how things are from the super high altitude. And I think kind of this generational dissection and all this stuff is like that sort of like attempt to like put us all into like context, you know, I guess. And I don't know. I don't know how useful or disruptive it is. Do you know, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's a benefit to like label generations this or that sort of thing, really. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
No, you're right. It's a weird, like, almost branding type of a thing.
It is weird, and it kind of sets up these arbitrary expectations and trends. Yeah. And, I mean, who's coming up with this shit?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
But it
that's
seems like really it comes question. From somewhere. They've already decided what the Generation Alpha, like who decided it's called Generation Alpha?
And it's just, this is what it is on Wikipedia. Like, I don't know who the, let's see if they even get into it. No, you know what? I'm going to Google. Who comes up with generation names? They filled it out for me.
Must be a common question.
Must be a common question. Thanks, Google.
I mean, I know Gen X came from a Douglas Copeland novel.
So this is an article from the Pew Charitable Trust.
Okay.
How are generations named? It's one of the most frequent questions that I get as a generations researcher, and the answer is not as straightforward as you might think. No official commission or group decides what each generation is called and when it starts and ends. Instead, different names and birth year cutoffs are proposed, and through a somewhat haphazard process, a consensus slowly develops in the media and popular parlance.
Okay.
Because generations are often shaped by specific events, their labels and spans sometimes differ from one country to another. Here, I'll focus on the U.S. Baby boomers are the most well-defined of the 20th century generations, named after the post-World War II spike in the birth rate that began in 1946. Demographers, those statistics-loving sociologists who study these types of people and trends, set the end of the boom in births at 1964, making 46 to 64 the usual span. So, yeah, she then just goes on to explain the different generations. But yeah,
so basically, it's completely arbitrary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like that they just come about.
Just through,
I don't know.
Just general, like, people talking.
People talking.
Yeah.
And some people throw out, yeah, this generation, these guys are really, like, Generation Alpha. Why?
That seems weird.
Yeah, it does seem weird.
There must be like some sort of article or something that was written that called them Generation Alpha, yeah, and then it's been picked up by the other pediatricians or whoever's talking about this sort of thing.
Right.
And now that's assumed that that's the one that's going to stick.
Right.
Because I think they had some other name for like Generation Z before Generation Z. They had they're thinking of their. I heard several things float around before that.
Yeah, no, I remember that too. Yeah. And I'm sure the same thing happened with millennials and Gen X. Like, why X out of nowhere? You know what I mean?
Well, it's from Gen X is from that Douglas Copeland novel. That's where that came from. See, and it's Generation X, just like Brand X. That's how he meant that. You know, like generic brand thing in the book. You know, and then everyone's like, oh, Gen X, that's it, you know. But that name for it didn't come up. I mean, that book didn't show up until, like, the 80s. I mean, they didn't really know what to call the Gen Xers until, like, way later.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting, and it's also kind of fruitless.
Yeah. I do find it interesting in a way that I'm not really sure why or how. But, like, just reading through all this stuff and not... I'm not in like a judgmental way, because I do think like every generation's got its fucking bitch. We fucking gave you hip hop. You know, it's got its fucking, we gave you jazz. We gave you the internet. You know what I mean? Every generation is going to have its geniuses in it who fucking make some awesome shit that the whole world is like, good on you. Mm-hmm. And then they're also going to have the people, you know, the setbacks.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's everything. But I think if you get back in the back, way back in the day, that's less and less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That like, oh, my generation gave us shoelaces. Or like, you
right,
know.
Fire. Me generation, yeah, make we fire.
We figured
these
out.
New generation, no dudes, not
we made
much.
Good putty put between, you know, put yeah. between cracks in log, yeah. Like let less cold air in
right.
in wintertime, yes. You know. But that's a huge one. But
sure.
Like, you know, that might be the big thing for a long time. You know, I don't know. It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, this is more important to us as time moves. And you also notice that they last longer, like the generations, the old generations, like the greatest generation is like 30 years, and like Gen X is like 15 years.
Oh, yeah. So
and
they get
now,
shorter.
Like, they're getting shorter and shorter yeah. and shorter and shorter.
Millennials is like a little over 10 years, maybe.
Because more things are happening, and there's more of these yeah. events that are constantly like, there was supposed to be some, like, I guess, is the World Trade Center your generation or my generation? Who owns that one?
9/11.
Yeah.
I think millennials. Well, I guess you guys were older, though.
We were like, I was prime of life when that happened. I was like,
yeah.
you know, 30.
Yeah, I was like 9.
Yeah, so
no,
I mean, I guess
11,
it would be,
maybe.
Be more Gen X than it would be
I was 9, yeah.
millennials.
Yeah.
I mean, you grew up in the world that, you never really knew the world before that. So you grew up in a new thing. So it's kind of yours in that way. That's the world you inherited.
Right. Like that, we live in the shadow of that event, and we remember it. Or most of us do.
Right, yeah.
Where it's like, I remember that happening.
Well, if you don't remember it, you saw it on TV so much growing up
right.
that you feel like you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do remember, I have memories of airports without all the crazy security.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, you talk to anyone born after, you know, 95, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Airports have always had this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you used to be able to just fucking walk up to the gate.
Oh, yeah. Like, go watch.
Meet
go
your
watch.
Mom coming home from the trip
yeah,
or whatever.
We would just sometimes go out to the Casper Airport and just, like, hang out and, like, watch the planes and shit.
Right.
Yeah. My uncle worked for Logan Airport in St. Louis. And he used to drive us sometimes as kids to the end of the runway, and we would sit on top of the car and watch the planes like go over the top of us.
Huh.
You know.
That's fucking awesome.
And now you would go to fucking federal prison
right.
for that.
You're going to jail, bitch. Just trying to have a moment.
I mean,
with
we would be walking. We would be my uncle and be walking through the airport, and he would just throw us on one of the baggage carousels, and we would just go into the chute and go down into the thing, and he'd hop in behind us, and we would just write it down until we were in the back part of the airport. God. And then we'd just like, hey, how's it going? He'd be slapping high five with all his buddies and everything. And he's like, oh, hop on one of these carts, and we're just going to go drive around and look at the planes, you know, and all that shit. And it Damn. Was awesome.
That's
and he
so
would
cool.
go to, he would be under the jail now.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Because he was just like a baggage handler guy.
He wasn't like
I mean,
a
he
high
wasn't,
up.
No. No, he was just a guy that worked there.
Yeah.
He was a union guy that worked there.
Yeah.
I mean, he did pretty well because it was all union and everything. Right. But like, no, he was not a boss or anything.
Right. But what he was doing, that was just probably considered like perks of the job.
Funny. It was considered funny.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Not doing anything wrong, but he's not doing any harm, you know. He's breaking the rules a little bit. We're not supposed to have kids on the belt, but he's not doing any harm.
Right.
You know?
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, we're not supposed to have people in front of where the jets are taking off, but, you know.
Whatever.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean any harm. But,
Yeah. Oh, super cool as a kid.
No,
that super
that
cool.
sounds fucking awesome. And, it's a very strange thing to think about now because airport, you know, I think it universally just causes anxiety. To some degree. No one's like, yay, I want to go hang out at the airport. The people who do are special. You see those people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you're just hanging out here going to Elephant's Deli. And like, you know what I mean?
It's weird. It's weird now to go hang out at the airport.
It's weird now.
Yeah.
But before, I could see how it'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to go watch some planes take off. There's good food there. Like, they got a really good sausage and beer place.
Oh, they had a nice... Yeah, there was a nice restaurant and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and
for
so,
sure.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But I found in the Wikipedia thing, just to kind of wrap this up really quick, the Generation Alpha, the name originated from a 2008 survey conducted by the Australian consulting agency McCrindle Research. That was terrible. Australia. I tried.
Really bad.
According to founder Mark McCrindle. Oh, yeah. It's Mark McCrindle.
It's bad.
I'm sorry. I'm working on it, okay? Okay, I'm thinking about it too much. He is generally credited with the term. McCrindle describes how his team arrived at the name in a 2015 interview. When I was researching my book, The ABC of XYZ, Understanding the Global Generations published Understanding Global Generations, it became apparent that a new generation was about to commence and that there was no name for them, so I conducted a survey to find out what people think the generation after Z should be called, and while many names emerged, Generation A was the most mentioned, Generation Alpha got some mentions too, so I settled on that for the title of the chapter, Beyond Z, Meet Generation Alpha. So it's just from his book, and it's just gained traction, it sounds like.
Mm.
I don't know. But
disappointing. Disappointing.
Yeah, I know, right? I wanted there to be some sort of grand, deeper answer. He's like, oh, yeah, people just like the name. Like, yeah,
but
oh,
it's consulting agency.
Yeah.
What does that do? What does that do for you? I mean, what does consulting agencies do? They just consult people on various
things?
They,
like, do these studies and research, and they just sit around, like, talking about things. But then I think they, like, get money from people somehow, right?
Isn't that what we do? We don't get money from people somehow, though. But, like, we sit around talking about things.
To consult, but that means that they're giving other people advice, right?
Right.
To consult. So it'd be like if someone hired us to just sit and talk them through their problems. Maybe they have, like, a specific one where it's, like, generationally.
Yeah, but I guess you just call yourself consultants.
Yeah, we're consultants.
See, we should have called this... Like, we should have called this consulting, not a podcast.
We should call ourselves the Consultants of Swing. Boom, baby. New podcast name, Consultants of Swing.
That is pretty fucking magic.
Consultants of Swing.
That would be pretty awesome. I mean, I think that the people that get that joke are dying off very quickly right now, but, like, that's great.
Yeah.
The Consultants of Swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking pretty magic.
It's pretty good. If we just go straight music, if we ever decide to just double
down. No,
we
have to go into
music,
consulting. No, fuck the podcast thing. We're gonna go consulting,
okay.
Spencer,
okay.
Because you get money for that.
Right, right.
This is just things that people are trying to get you to listen to on. But if we called this, that's what I'm saying. If we called this consulting and we just like put on shirts and went like and talked to other people like this and called it consulting, they would maybe pay us like a bunch of money. We would do studies. You know, like, we're consultants. What do you want to be consulted on? We'll come, and we'll examine the problem, and then we'll consult you on
it. Right,
right. We're consultants.
Yeah. That's great. We should start being consultants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's all it takes.
Right.
It's not like being a doctor or a scientist or something. You just, like, write that on your card, and you're a consultant. Right?
Let me look.
I think it helps if you have other, like, my mother was a consultant for a long time, but she had, like, you know, degrees and things that, like, that helped with that.
But typically they're like, it's like expert advice.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. Like, once you're a consultant, you're an expert advice, right?
Yeah.
And expert advice is consultant advice.
Right.
So, like, you just got to say that it becomes an expert.
Yeah.
Because expert just means that you're doing it professionally.
Is that what it means?
That's what we're going to say
That's what an expert is now.
Spencer, for us today, that definition is good enough.
It's plenty, yeah.
Consulting and expert just means you're doing it professionally.
Right. I'm an expert. I do
and
this
you're
every
trying,
day.
And you're trying hard. You're doing well.
Right.
You're doing it professionally. You're doing it well. You're an expert.
I'm an expert. I've been doing this music thing. Or no, no. How about I've been doing this political research for a week.
You've been giving people advice for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's really what you're an expert at,
right.
is giving people advice.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily good advice, but you're good at talking to people, listening to their problems, and then telling them what you think. Right?
Yeah.
Because you think things.
Sure.
About people's problems.
Yeah.
And then you tell them.
And I'm like, you know what? You know what you should do?
Yeah. You're an expert.
Yeah. I am an expert.
That.
Yeah.
In that.
I am. I've been doing that for years.
Therefore, you're a consultant.
I've been doing that for like 20 years,
right.
I would say.
You've got 20 years of a consulting experience.
Yes.
I think it's time to monetize that. And just think, if you've got 20 years, how many years I've got?
You've
I
got
mean,
like
we've
40
almost
years.
Got like... 100 years of a consulting experience within our firm.
We should say that 60.
Almost.
We should say just 60.
Well, I mean, we just like hire, like put a couple other people on the thing, you
the
know?
Payroll.
Yeah, throw a couple.
Conk and Lynn.
Throw a couple names on
Consultants
there.
Consultants of Swing.
Sure, and then we'll put like and you know, we'll just put some names on there of people that we know.
Just
call them like
names.
Consultants that they just assume to pad out the stats. They
right.
won't even know.
They're always busy.
But then we can say we have over 100 years because they have some consulting
right.
experience,
sure.
too. Not that they'll know they're even part of our company.
No, but we'll know.
But we'll, we'll fill out some documents in their names
yeah.
and stuff like
yeah.
that. You know,
yeah.
it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They might get some letters from the IRS at some point.
But it will be too late. Though.
It'll be too late because we'll be off consulting somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be – I think that's really the way to go.
Yeah.
That's what the smart – that's what the rich man does.
Now we just got to find someone to pay us to consult them. Hey, folks out there, if you need any consultation,
right.
all right, let us know yeah. because our rates are competitive.
You just need business cards. We just need business cards, and then you just go to offices and you say, hey, we're a consulting firm. We're looking – we got lots of great
right.
ideas. We can streamline
media,
your stuff.
Business. What are we experts in? Media, business, communication,
right.
Consulting. Broadcasting.
We are experts in consulting.
We're just experts in consulting. We'll consult your consultants. Actually.
No matter what your problem is,
right.
like even if you want like consulting about like
consulting.
We can consult you
we
on
can
that.
Consult on the consulting.
Yeah.
And that's what that I think is where we need
yeah.
cuz you know that consultants sometimes need a consultant.
Right, and I think that we can probably get by with, like, some package. You know, I think what the idea is, like, you just want to get, like, companies that become your clients.
Right.
So, in a way, you're kind of like their lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, that whenever they're having a hard time making a decision, they just bring you in and you tell them what you think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, you tell them that, like, hey, you know, let's do, like, that retreat thing with all of your core guys and we'll have it, you know, at this place or everything. And then I'll show up, you know, I'll have a nice dinner and I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah.
And then I'll fly out that next day and then you guys can discuss that and whatever.
Yeah. And you'll pay for it and everything.
Well,
and
sure.
It'll be great.
Yeah. And that'll be like, you know, probably $25,000 pop.
Right, right.
For
and
one
that's
of those.
A steal.
And then if you want us to come to your actual place of a business
we don't
for a long period of time, like that's going to be considerably more.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to talk about
we're talking like $5,000 a day kind of thing.
Or probably more.
$10,000 a day. Maybe. Each.
Maybe, depending on what we're doing, you know, and expenses, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, that doesn't factor in our
but
expenses.
That's really like, yeah, you got to value yourself to get value.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're going to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we disappear off of the face of the internet, which we aren't right now because we're everywhere on the internet right now.
Everywhere.
But when we disappear, that's what we're doing is we've started our consulting business.
Mm-hmm.
And then your ass can hire us.
That's right.
You know, if you miss us. You run out of episodes and we're not putting them out anymore. And you thought that that thing, that day would never come, that there'd always be more episodes of Sus
you
Universe.
You took it for granted.
And then you click it on and, oh, they haven't put anything out in like a week.
They must have started
their
consulting.
I wonder if it's okay. Yeah. Did the old one die? You know, there are going to be all sorts of questions. And then they're going to see the fucking plane fly overhead and it's going to be fucking Konkin Lin Consulting,
right?
And we're going to be flying off to Pedo Island or whatever it is with our new rich, our new rich clients.
No, we're not,
and we're going to be making millions
plane.
And millions of dollars, millions and millions of
Jesus
dollars.
Craig,
we're just flying in and
I
out.
Think it would be Lin Konkin, though, don't you?
We'd go alphabetical in by
seniority. Is that what you're going to say, Craig? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I just stopped to see what you would say.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, L, K, N, O, P, Q, R, S.
What are we? Because both of your letters in your name come after both of the letters in my name.
Right, right. But that's if you're thinking like within the box, you know, of like the alphabetical patriarchal the thinking structure.
So you think Lin Konkin Consulting is better?
I think it just
How about
has
just
a good
Konkin Consulting?
For whatever reason, that name just is terrible. I think it sounds, you know, it just sounds terrible.
Craig Konkin Consulting.
Ooh, that one has just a very harsh, harsh tone to it.
Yeah,
Craig
Konkin and Associate.
How about
that has a ring?
How about
Konkin
we call
and
it,
Associate Consulting?
How about we call it Lin Town. Spenny and the Lins Consulting Agency. And you can just be a Lin.
That sounds like a bad, like, girl group in the 40s or something.
Spenny
Lin in the Lin Towns.
shit.
I think it's going to be Konkin and Associate.
I don't like that. I would consult. I would advise against that. Is my consultation.
Yeah. So when we're done here, if it ever stops, if the well dries up of idiots of episodes, just look up Konkin and Associate Consulting.
Yeah.
And then there we are. You can hire us by the hour.
That's right.
Or weekend packages.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. So.
Affordable. We're going to keep it affordable.
We're going to keep it affordable.
And we're going to give you a lot of value like we give you a lot of value now.
That's right.
We're just going to be doing it smart for the money.
Money, baby.
That's it.
That's what we're all about here.
All right. So I guess that's it for us.
That's it for us today.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.